Thank you, Joyce. If you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 69, Psalm 69, just a couple of verses from this psalm. Let me just read verse 30 and 31 and then verse 34. I wondered why it was so blurry. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. In other words, more than a sacrifice. Then verse 34, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. We have looked at this passage before, but I bring it before you again this morning because I need for you basically to be the preacher this morning. And so I just want to let me attempt to try to mention a couple of things to us here. And then I'm going to turn it over to you to express your thanks and praise to the Lord so you can already begin thinking about that. But notice that verse 30 states, I will praise the name of God with a song, which is what we have been doing already. And as I already mentioned, we saw in our responsive reading that the psalm speaks much about us singing. And as I said, that was only about half the verses that we could have put on the screen and had us recite together. And so he says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let me make this statement, that it should be the mark of all true Christians that we should seek through our lives to continually magnify the Lord. In fact, that really could be a test of our sincerity and our commitment to the Lord, whether we really desire for God to be magnified through our lives. The New Testament tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We're to do everything. That's pretty penetrating, isn't it? We're to do everything so that God might be glorified, so that God might be magnified in our lives. Last week, as I presented our new year verse for us, it was from 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and the second half of verse 11, and it read this way, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we noted as we talked about what does it mean to glorify God, we put it just in a very basic street level, you would, language for us. We said that to glorify God is to make him look as great as he really is. Through our lives, through our words, through our character, through our work habits, that we are to glorify God by making him look to others a little bit bigger, a little bit greater in their sight than he was before because of what they're seeing him do in our lives. Paul's desire in prayer in Philippians 1:20, and I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation, and it reads this way, I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have courage now as always to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. And so I just say to us again that it should be the mark of all true Christians that we seek to magnify the Lord through our lives. But that does pose a question for us, because magnify is one of those real spiritual terms, and so sometimes we're not really sure what that looks like, what that means in our lives. And so as I thought about the word magnify, you realize magnify can be used in two different senses. It can be used to, in terms of, to take something to make something appear greater than it really is, like a microscope does, like even a magnifying glass does. Those of us who have trouble reading things, we pull out the magnifying glass to make something small look bigger than it really is so that we can read it. Or with a magnifying glass, you take something that's even invisible to the naked eye and you blow it up, magnify it, so that we can see what it is, so we can study it. That's one way, one sense of magnifying. Another sense that magnify can be used is to take something that appears small and insignificant and make it look a little bit bigger, or make it look as big and as great as it really is. That's what our telescopes do, don't they? They zoom out into outer space. They take little stars that look so, we barely can see their light, or maybe we can't even see them at all. And through that telescope, they enlarge it, they magnify it, so that we get a little bit bigger picture of really how big and great that far-off distant star is. And so you could say there are two kinds of magnifying, a microscope magnifying and telescope magnifying. The one makes small things look bigger than it is. The other makes a big thing, which appears small, to look as big as it really is. Which way is David speaking here in verse 30? He says, I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. He's not talking about microscope magnifying, is he? He's talking about being a spiritual telescope, that through our lives, he's calling us to live our lives to represent God in such a way as that we make God look bigger, as big as he really is in other people's lives. So they see what kind of God that we belong to. They see what kind of God that we serve, what kind of God wants to be a part of their life. That's our calling in the world, if I could say it that way. We are called to be spiritual telescopes to people. We don't want to be like dishonest salesmen who, you know, they do all kinds of finagling and so forth to make their product look like it's the best in the world, when maybe they know their competitor's product is far superior. And so they're dishonest. We see that all the time in advertising. But that's not what we're called to do, because there is no one greater. There is no one bigger. There's no one more significant than the Lord that we belong to. So the calling of those who love God, the calling of us who love God, is to make his greatness, begin to look around to those around us as great as it really is. As great as it really is. And so that really emphasizes how critical it is for us and how we live day in and day out, doesn't it? So I could sum up the duty of the Christian life this way. It's to think and to act and to live in a way that will make God look as great as he really is. That's your duty. That's my duty. That's our calling. Whatever we're doing, as we trust God, as we live in obedience, as we give thanks to God, as we sing to God, as we move in his sufficiency, the grace he gives when they're in the midst of some trial and a hard thing hits us, as we respond to God, we are picturing to people a little bit more how great he really is in the care of his people and how he manifests himself to his people. Because you know the problem around us is what? People have such a distorted view of who God really is, don't they? They have a wholly inaccurate view of who God is. Even people who say they believe in him, even people who go to church even regularly, how often do we find in those people's lives that God in reality is really quite small, really insignificant in the everydayness of their lives, Monday through Saturday stuff? They even miss it. And so our calling, our duty, is to know God and to walk with God in such a way as we represent before them, give them a little bit clearer understanding of how great and big and awesome God really is. We magnify him in that way as we do that. And so through our lives, through our attitudes, through our work habits, through our small talk, through our character, through our relationships, we enable those around us to see how big and great and awesome he really is. Now, at the same time, we want to be careful that we don't, through our attitudes and actions, pull God down and diminish him, particularly if they know we're Christians. Because we got to be tuned into that too, don't we? If they know we're Christians, by how we live and respond, by how we work, we can actually diminish the greatness of God as people watch us. And so we've got to be tuned into that aspect as well. But magnifying God, as we think about that just for a quick minute, what does that look like? Because that can look like such a lofty thing. I think to some people it's kind of an intimidating thing, saying that God wants to be magnified in your life. Or maybe even for some people, they think, well, that's just for the really spiritual elite. That's out of my league to be able to magnify God. Only those kind of people can magnify God. And so David gives us one simple yet significant way of how to magnify the Lord. What does he say? I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Thankfulness, not just in some general sense, but thankfulness to God magnifies him. Thankfulness to God magnifies him. And guess what? It doesn't require any kind of special giftedness, any kind of special talent. Doesn't take a certain kind of personality. If you know the Lord and you have a voice, which I barely do this morning, but if you know the Lord and you have a voice, you qualify. Now all it requires is a willingness, doesn't it? If you know the Lord and you have a voice, you can express thankfulness. Because I know we can do it in our hearts, but I think primarily he's talking about vocally here, so that others then again get to see a little bit better what God is like and who he is. And so it just requires a willingness after that. And obviously I'm not talking about some phony Christian cliche-ish way we can say praise the Lord or give thanks to the Lord in some way. We're talking about genuine from the heart. But listen, just for a minute. If that doesn't come naturally to you, number one, and being a thankful person, you can ask the Lord to change that. That's important. Because if you're not giving thanks, expressing thanks to God, which is a way of magnifying him, and you're more of a negative person, you're more of a complaining person, you enter into all that cheap small talk that goes on around at the workplaces, you, in essence, hinder God from being magnified in your life, right? And that makes it something serious, doesn't it? So if that just doesn't come naturally to you to be a thankful person, ask the Lord to change that aspect of your heart. And number two, if it doesn't come naturally to you in terms of vocalizing it, maybe you're a shy kind of person. Did you know I'm a shy person? If it doesn't come natural to you in vocalizing it, guess what? You can ask the Lord to help you with that too, to embolden you. He's not talking about preaching a sermon here. He's just talking about giving a word of thanks. So ask the Lord to embolden you to speak a word of thanks in a certain kind of situation. You never know how God might use that to someone else's life, to enlarge that picture, to change that inaccurate picture that they have of the Lord. So when we give thanks to him from our hearts, God is magnified. He is shown to be great and powerful and caring and merciful and loving and faithful and sufficient and all those other kind of attributes you can throw in there in that specific area where you are giving thanks. And thus we declare and picture to those around us in a little clearer way who God really is. And so thankfulness magnifies God. So with that is God's word to us this morning. I'm going to turn it over to you and let you magnify the Lord in our midst this morning through sharing a testimony, maybe a Bible verse or some Bible truth that God's been teaching you. Maybe you want to offer a prayer for something. Maybe you want to express your thanks in a song. We can do that. You'll sing it. I'll stand up here, but I'll get you to the right page. But we just want to magnify the Lord together as a congregation through these different ways: testimony, prayer, song, Bible verse, however the Lord puts it on your heart. And so that's about all I got in terms of my voice. I'm going to open it up to you and allow you to magnify the Lord in our midst.